One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Hey guys, this is Ryan. I'm here with Bobby in his house real quick. We did not do a normal episode this week. We were all off doing other things. It was hard for us to miss doing our regular episode because we genuinely enjoy doing this.
It's pretty fun. It's a good catharsis too. And you're like, hey, you know what? Anybody who screwed me this week, I'm going to put you on blast.
Exactly. And so I do apologize that we didn't do a legit episode. Dave isn't here, but I wanted to at least say something to you before and not just leave you hanging. First of all, not only do we enjoy hanging out with each other each week, we really enjoy being part of your week. And we've been really fortunate to have some listeners that when we missed our last episode, that was when we had our problem with our last network.
Right.
We missed about 2 weeks. A couple people hit me up saying like, hey man, don't mean to be that guy, but the no show. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Get the let out. And a few of them were like, I hope not bothering you. And you were not bothering me. That felt so good.
It does feel kind of good because it means that somebody actually missed and appreciate what you do.
Yeah. So I wanted to at least put something up. And over the course of doing this show, not only have you got to know me, I've gotten to know you guys a little bit. I mean, we've friended each other on social media. I've gotten to know you guys on Facebook and Instagram, and that's been really cool. One thing, though, that I've noticed over the last good year or so is there is one thing that I think a lot of people sometimes struggle with, especially at the same age group as me, which is early 30s, is I've noticed a lot of people are vocal about feeling kind of worthless or like a failure sometimes. I've seen a lot of people saying, like, this is not what I was going for. You know what I mean?
Well, you get to a point in your life where you have been progressing on a ladder for the rest of you. You know, you went through school, and every school, you just kind of go through the grades, so you know what's coming next, and you know what's coming next, and then you have these jobs, and then there is a midpoint in your 30s or somewhere around there where you're like, man, I feel like I'm in a standstill. My wheels are spinning, and I feel kind of shitty about it.
Oh, absolutely, you know? And a lot of people think that I don't have that going on because I only advertise the wins,
right?
And I tend to make it seem like I'm joking for all the losses.
Which is actually a good philosophy in life, by the way. Yeah. Like, you know, not that you need to brag about the wins, but just your own mental state, kind of be like, all right, I know I'm feeling really shitty, and that guy just cut me off, but also, I got a loving wife and a house, you know. I should just kind of focus on that stuff for now.
Exactly. So anyways, I wanted to throw out something for those of you that may be feeling right now or from time to time like you don't have a lot of worth. And number one, it is that if you're feeling worthless, you're already doing something right. Because let me tell you something, losers tend to think they're always doing fine.
Yes.
That there's nothing wrong with them, man.
Or it's somebody else that they're not doing right, but it's not their fault. It's somebody else imposing
that. It's not their fault. And even if it was, it's not a big deal where they're at, you know? So yeah. The fact that you already have some sort of feeling that you're not doing everything right, well, that's great. It means you're not okay with where you are, and you're taking some responsibility for that.
Yeah,
so right there, kudos.
Yeah, you want to make it better. That is good. Now, the downside of that is when it becomes so overwhelming that what happens is it then prevents you from progressing in whatever you're doing, right? You dwell in that mud. You're spinning your tires too much, and you dig that car in really deep.
And I think that is a big part of it is people will say, yes, I realize that I'm not happy with where I am, but then I'm such a loser that I don't do anything about it. Believe me, I suffer from that too. On a weekly basis, I have felt that feeling of I have so much to do that I want to curl up in a ball about it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I have so much to do, I better take a nap. I think that comes from people thinking that they have to solve all of this right away. I've got 8 things to do. I keep forgetting about it. I keep forgetting to pay that toll, and it's probably up to $109 from 5 by now.
Yeah, and not only that, but all of that stress compounds upon itself when you suddenly think, you know, you can get into a stress mode in your head where, oh man, I've got this one thing to do. Oh no, I have 10 other things to do. Oh, and it just becomes so overwhelming. It doesn't even seem like it's possible to do because it's a mountain. But you kind of realize if you can take a step back every once in a while and be like, all right, one step at a time. You know,
yes.
How is Mount Everest summited? One step at a time. You know,
right.
That's the way it works. And it's hard. Like even right now, like things like tax season, right? Like I have that in the back of my head. Oh, goddamn, I don't have my taxes together. Oh, I got to get this stuff on. Oh, I have to get my son to the doctor. You think of all of these things, and as a monolith, they seem daunting. And The only thing I can say is the way that I have been successful when I have been successful is that I occasionally just try and take those in chunks and say like,
sure.
All right, I'm not going to solve all of my problems today, but I'm going to solve this one. I'm going to take one of these things. I'm going to work at it till it's done. And at the end of the day, I might not feel perfect, but I'm going to feel much better.
Yes. What I want you to do for me is if, when you feel that way is you don't have to climb Everest. You don't have to solve all these things at once. I want you to say to yourself, I'm going to do better tomorrow than I did today. Whatever that means, maybe that's just getting out of bed. And listen, the thing is too, I understand depression. And right now, I think Dave Callens put it best, is depression is like a gluten allergy. Not everyone that says they had it actually has it.
Yep.
And it ruins it and makes everyone sound like liars when they say they have it.
That's true.
But I get it what that is. I've said it before that you think of depression like when you're a kid and you would you wouldn't be able to walk into a dark room because you just watched a horror movie and you were certain the boogeyman was in there. Well, when you are a grown up and you have depression, the darkened room is outside and the boogeyman is everyone that doesn't live in your house. And I get that feeling of not being able to get out of bed. So if that's the case today, forgive yourself and just say, I'm going to get out of bed tomorrow. After that, that's the new bar.
Yeah.
And I want you to keep raising that bar every single day and not feel like you have to fix all of it right now.
And also, you don't have to have clinical depression to have a crippling sadness. You can have a temporary malaise. You can have bad stuff going on in your life where you aren't technically clinically depressed because it hasn't been 6 months or whatever it is. But like, you're still sad and it's still affecting your life. It's okay to acknowledge that and feel that and then have shitty times. And then also, here's just my one tip, because I recently, for the first time in, I don't know, 15 years, I'm not working a regular job all the time because I'm watching my son for a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have found myself inside way more than I've ever been in the past 15 years of my life. And I started getting really sad and depressed too. Let me just say this. Go outside and walk around a little bit. It helps way more than you would imagine. It sounds like stupid, easy advice. If you can get yourself out of bed, lap the block once. That's it. You've accomplished something.
Give me one lap.
You've been outside. And then you know what you do? You go, hey, I wonder what that other block looks like. I've never been down that street. Go do it. Walk it backwards. Do it over and over again. You will feel so much better in the end. That's not to minimize what real depression is, but it does make you feel much better to just go out and get some physical activity and do something.
Your body will respond even if your mind isn't at the moment.
So funny story, what has made me somewhat sad recently, and I let myself get way too sad about this. So we are having the big San Diego March for Science this April. It's the second annual one. The first one started last year. Huge national event. The group in San Diego that's promoting is the San Diego March for Science. And I started in January talking to them saying, hey, I'm a science comedian. I'd love to MC your show. I'd love to host it. If nothing, I'd like to be involved because I was there last year and you guys did a great job as far as organizers go. You did not do a great job as far as entertainers go.
Oh, what was wrong with it?
It was exactly what you would think of a bunch of nerds playing something. It was somebody reading cue cards when they're, and now I'm going to bring up the doctor who...
They didn't have any chops. Okay.
They were broadcasting from a set of stairs like a micro. There was no stage. There was no thing. Nothing about it was entertaining. It seemed like a rote thing. It was like a business presentation.
Okay. All right.
And I talked to the guy who's the head of it. And I was like, hey, man, here's my credentials. I can totally spice this up. However you need help, I'm totally volunteering my time, no charge. Here are my credentials. You can talk to the Reuben H. Fleet Museum. I've been working with them since 2012. I do a science education podcast. I do everything. Like, science is my game in San Diego. I got you. And he's like, yeah, for sure. Let's put you on the volunteer list. The day they wanted me to volunteer, I couldn't do it. We were doing a bunch of podcasts. It was actually the day we did our MMA show.
Oh, sure.
I could not do it. And I told him that a month ahead of time. Sorry, I can't make that date. I'm booked. And he goes, okay, don't worry, we have a second date coming up. I'm going to put you on the list with the volunteer coordinator. So I wait for a while, hadn't heard back, talked to him again. Hey, I just wanted to check in. I'm really excited about the March for Science. I put together a bunch of ideas. I watched the YouTube videos on what happened last year. I've kind of put together the do's and don'ts. By the way, when's that next meeting? And he goes, oh, you haven't been heard? It's tomorrow. Like, what are you talking about? And he goes, oh, yeah, the coordinator left you off the email for some reason. And I was like, oh, well, I have a show tomorrow. I wouldn't have scheduled one, but I can't do this now. And he goes, and he's like, oh, yeah. Don't worry. I'm doing an event, a fundraiser for this at the Reuben H. Fleet next week. Why don't you come there? We'll hook it up. Don't worry. We got plenty more spots. We're going to get you in this. And I was like, yeah, sweet. So I go to this fundraiser, pay the $15, sit through
Oh, you
it.
Paid?
Oh, yeah, it's a fundraiser, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's a good cause.
I'm of the belief that if you're helping out in some way, maybe we at least waive the fee on that.
Yeah, I'm trying
You're donating your time already.
I'm trying to butter him up a little bit, right?
Sure, okay.
Yeah, and so talk to that guy. He's great. His name is Robert Cooper. He's the guy, he's the head of that entire organization. He's really, really good, and he did his best. And then he contacts me a few days later. He's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I just got downvoted by the board. They said they don't want any more volunteers. And I was like, but I've been asking since January, like, shouldn't I get like grandfathered in? Like,
yeah.
Like I know the DMV closed at 5, but if you're in line before 5, then, yeah. Like, you know, like that
kind of thing. If you're there at 4:51, yeah, you're getting that registration tag.
It's one of those things that I was like, shouldn't I be in? He's like, yeah, I thought so. But they like literally unanimously voted no. And I was like, ah, well, that sucks. Cause last year when I was there, I said to myself, no matter what, I need to get a booth here. Like, even if you guys don't want me in there, I was going to then file for my own permit so I could have a booth, you know, at the March for Science. And I was like, okay, well, can you guys at least give me a booth? Like, can I have a, like, do you have a bunch of booths sitting out? Can I have a booth for my podcast? And he comes back to me a few hours later. He's like, literally, it was a unanimous no. Like, I pushed for you really hard. I even brought up, like, your museum contacts as references, and everybody said no fucking way. And I was like,
wow,
what the fuck? And then I look it up, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll file for my own permit. It's not 60 days out. I can't. So I literally have been jacked into not being able to participate in an event that, even if they would have said no at the very beginning, I could have participated in by getting my own permit and working with it, and just got fucked. Horribly fucked over by a guy who, A, didn't do his job and add me to an email list. Again, not the head of the March for Science. He was very, very helpful. He definitely fought on my side. But the other guys didn't add me to the email list, then just suddenly put up a blockade, no more volunteers, and decided I was persona non grata. And I'm wondering, like, did I fucking cut this guy off in traffic at some point? Did I kill his dog? What? Why is he hating me? Like, what is this one guy's beef?
Yeah, that is a mystery. Did you ever find out?
No, I still don't know, but I have a few thoughts. I guess he's served on a few science boards that I have served on as well.
You're a little brash in your community.
Yeah, I'm very outspoken at those board meetings. I fuck around a lot. I talk loudly.
You're like the Conor McGregor of the science board. You're throwing water bottles. You do nothing.
Oh, now I know why he's pissed. Because at one point he spoke up and I yelled, "Who the fuck is this guy?" So I was like, I found myself in this spot where I guess the dude hates me, or it's just one of those chance things. I got super depressed about it for like a few days because like this was a really big deal. I really want to be a part of it. It's only the second annual one. I wanted to be part of this thing indefinitely. I've worked very hard. I've been in constant communication, like 30 emails back and forth since January. So it's not like I was sitting on my ass waiting for it. And it gets really frustrating. I get really, really angry. And I've like sat around and bitched at myself for like a day. And I realized you just wasted a day. You didn't get anywhere. You're still in the exact same fucking spot and you wasted a day. And what the fuck difference it make? Because that guy who fucked you over, he doesn't care. He didn't waste his day getting pissed off at himself. You know, like, you've just fallen into that trap. And as hard as it is, you kind of got to be like, fuck it, it's just an event, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go through it. I'm going to figure it out. I'll be there next year whether they want me to or not, because I'm going to file my fucking permit in January.
It just does hurt so bad when you were really looking forward to something and it meant something to you. Yeah. I remember when I first started, I was about, 2 years in, maybe even less. But I got a chance to play San Diego State, where I went. I'm an alumni there. It's where I did my very first stand-up ever in the Experimental Theater, but it was playing an event at the Don Powell Theater. That place is huge. Mm. It was going to be packed with people I had just graduated with. You know, they were you know, freshmen, right. Juniors, and sophomores when I graduated, and they all saw me do my first stand-up act. Now I was going to play this big theater, and I got this opportunity, and they said my call time was at 9:00. I got there at 8:45, and the event was ending. People were spilling out. I'm like, what happened? Where is everyone going? They're like, get those people back in there. But like, they're like, we're so sorry. We tried to call you, but we had the wrong number. We started early, and then everyone finished their thing early. So yeah, we're done. Like,
wow.
Yeah, we thought we would be going well into the 10:00 hour, and so it was just it was my one shot. And no one gives that back to you.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be another next year one. You know, and I've since played San Diego State, never the Don Powell Theater. Yeah. And like, people have booked it, friends of mine, they've not included me. And it hurts. It really does. But you know,
it especially sucks when like, in my mind, I'm like, fuck it. I could have done this myself without you guys, except you told me I could be part of it, and so you screwed me because now I can't go get my own permit.
You screwed me!
So, yeah, you know, I guess everybody go to the San Diego March for Science page and bitch about how they screwed Robert Timothy over.
I started sending people to the San Diego State thing, and I had them, like, send them emails like, hey, we came over there for Ryan. They weren't even at the show. But, another one, speaking of getting screwed over, is around 2013, I get hit up by a promoter that was doing what was then called the Ruby Room. It's now the Marrow in Hillcrest. And she did a whole, like, some sort of punk rock night. But she'd heard about me from me emceeing punk shows and was like, we'd like you to do comedy. Well, it pays this much, blah, blah, blah. And we went back. We discussed the specifics. She's like, you could even bring two openers. Cool. It was in December. I remember that. And around late November, I hit her up and I said, hey, I just want to know what my call time for the December show is. She goes, no thanks, fuck off. I don't rebook flakes. And I'm like, rebook flakes? And I go through. I'm like, no, there has to be some mistake. You booked me for December. No, I didn't. I said November. And so I'm like, this is all over text. I must be going crazy. I go back and I screenshot her where she said December 13th. It's now December 1st.
Yeah.
I'm like, see right there. And she goes, oh, well, I'm probably not doing that show anymore anyway. I'm like, oh, no, fuck you.
Yes.
No apology. No, oh my God. And by the way, I had turned down two other fucking gigs in the interim.
Did she do a show that night?
No, okay. No. She apparently,
I was going to say, because you should just show up with a foghorn at that point. Just be like,
I was going to be there with foghorns on for sure.
Trust me, that was one of my ideas when I got super pissed for those 24 hours. I'm like, I'm going to heckle the shit out of their crappy ass host.
You got to come in like fucking Homer Simpson being the town crier. Hear ye, hear ye. Ringing a bell.
Speaking of somebody else who got kind of screwed over, two of our friends ended up getting their house flooded by sewage through no fault of their own while they were on vacation. A city blockade in their sewer pipe.
And Bobby, you know the reason why this happened,
yes,
don't you?
Yeah, because I do a lot of municipal work as an archaeologist around the city, so I have to be there when they are doing certain things, including sewer replacements. San Diego has an antiquated sewer system, depending on what part of the city you're living in. It is literally terracotta pipe, so like the terracotta that like pots are made out of from 1913 that we laid down, and they're not sloped correctly and they're super small diameter. It was literally, this stuff was put in at a time when San Diego's population was that of like Vista High School. Like,
yeah.
So we have a shitty sewer system. We are slowly replacing it, but that takes a long time. In any case, two of our friends, they ended up getting a blockade in the city streets while they were out of town. It backed up, flooded their basement with sewage, which all has to be, any of you guys who do that kind of work, you know, you have to, it's called remediation work, and you have to pull everything out. You have to rip the drywall out. You have to
yeah,
the
you
studs.
Don't just drain poo water and expect your house to be hunky-dory. And they had original hardwood floors.
And the guys who do it are hazmat dudes who charge an insane hourly rate.
That's not cheap. Nobody
cheap
that fucks
all.
With poo water is like, nah, I work for basically nothing. I love this job.
It takes the cheapest part usually, which is demo, which is usually unskilled labor, and makes it the most expensive part. So now the demo guys have to wear hazmat suits. They're more expensive than the finished carpentry guys.
Oh, man.
So it's a huge, huge hassle. And what really sucks is because it happened on the city's property, their insurance is not paying for it because the clog wasn't in their house. So their insurance isn't paying for it. The city isn't paying for it. They're paying out of pocket. So we're doing a fundraiser for them on April 13th at the Ken Club in Kensington. That's right off the 15. It's like 100 yards east of the 15 on Adams Avenue.
And all the proceeds go to benefiting this family. They got displaced. And you know what? They're still in talks with the city and their insurance and everything. And you know, they may eventually get a settlement. Who knows? We don't know what's going to hold for them. And I want to mention that for one reason. My good friend that helped me organize this event, Ashley, she survived cancer. And when she was going through her treatments, she got, she had like a couple fundraisers done for her.
Yeah.
And she pointed out something that I didn't think about when these fundraisers happen, is that people feel like you're not allowed to live your life after you've received money from a fundraiser. Because every time she'd post a picture with her and her then husband like out to dinner, like a sushi or something, she'd get shitty people. Like, is this where my money went so you could go out for sushi? Like, yes, I'm getting my life back, Jim. I'm like, that's what it was going to.
Right. Not only that, but let's say they do get a settlement later on. You know what they've had to do? They've had to put all of this on a credit card, and then they have to pay the fucking interest on it.
Yes.
So, like, there's a whole bunch of... How about just the stress of going through all of this? Anything you can do to relieve that, they're in just such a, pardon the pun, such a shitty situation. and they're really, really good people. So please come on out. It's super cheap. It's $10 prepaid, $15 at the door. Again, April 13th, 8 o'clock.
And by the way, that $10 presale, if you go to eventbrite.com to get your presales, is you also get a raffle ticket. Raffle tickets at the show are $2 extra. There's so many cool prizes there. Our friends at Burning Beard donated some beer, that gift certificate for some free suds. Oh, our friends at the Riviera Steakhouse, they've donated gift certificates for free meals. There's all sorts of cool prizes. You can go to my Facebook page and check it out. But anyway, eventbrite.com, get your pre-sales. Three of San Diego's funnest bands. There's a Misfits tribute band, The Fiends.
Ooh, I hear those guys have some very talented members.
I heard so. Some of them anyway. also, The Strikers, by far one of my favorite San Diego bands. The Strikers are playing along with the Screaming Yeehaws to close the whole thing out. It's going to be so much fun. Me and Bobby will be there. But anyway, it's going to be, again, Friday the 13th, April 13th at the Kensington Club in San Diego. Get your pre-sales for $10 at eventbrite.com. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the Twos.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 motherfucking time is passing by.